morning, everyone. Good to see everyone this morning. As Brother Massey said, I don't think I've seen a prettier morning, prettier day, wonderful day. Good to have all the visitors here today. Thank you so much. What a special day that we have. We're going to open our service today. This is our special service for the matter of burning our note, our mortgage, free from encumbrance. Isn't that a great feeling? Let's turn to number 52, or you already know it, as I prayed to the Lord, and it seemed like he just kept bringing me back to Amazing Grace. But you know what? That grace is why we're here today. Thank you, Lord, for Amazing Grace. Would you stand together as we sing Amazing Grace?
Thank you, Sister Janice. We're glad that she's able to play for us today. We are glad to see each and every one out this morning. We hope and pray that you are glad to be with us today, and I believe you are. We are so thankful that we have so many out today. We're doing a little bit of a special service today instead of our Sunday school. We have been privileged to pay this building off. Done it in, I guess you could say, in short time is the way I would say it. To be the amount that it was and the giving of the church and what the Lord allowed people to give towards this church has truly been a great blessing. Now, to kind of give you an idea of what we're doing, we're going through this part of this service today. We have the Pettigo family with us. They were the first group that sang for the church years ago when it was organized. We are also celebrating our 40th anniversary as a church today. So many of them believed it would be a good thing for them to come and be with us today, and we are looking forward to them singing. I've heard them sing different times over the years, and we are looking forward to them singing for us today. And they'll sing a little bit here in a few minutes, and then we'll get into the note-burning part. And if everything stays somewhat on schedule, and as I told one of the brethren that was singing, I said, y'all just follow the Lord. That's what I want everybody to do. That's what we did last Sunday, and we got a great big blessing out of that service. And that's what I want us to do today. We want God's blessings to come down. Paying off this church building was a great thing. But God's blessings are greater. And so let's keep that in mind. We'll go into that service. We're guessing 20 to 30 minutes, and this part of the service will be over with. Then we'll take a short break and come back at our usual church time for our regular service today. And then we'll have, and I know this is the part that everybody's looking forward to, is the lunch part. We have plenty of food already, and there's still more coming. So if you did not bring anything and you're visiting with us today, stay and eat. We don't need any more leftovers, in other words. So everybody stay, enjoy the good day of fellowship with us is what we want you to do. And just enjoy the day of being with God's people. And prayerfully and hopefully we'll be in the presence of God also. We are glad to have everybody with us today. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I do want to mention one thing. It's been mentioned quite a bit. Some of you will know him. Some of you will not. Brother Junior Dickerson, he is the pastor at Plunkett's Creek Missionary Baptist Church. He had a stroke yesterday. It is considered to be a mild stroke, but do remember him in your prayers, he and his family. Remember the church at Plunkett's Creek as they are going to be dealing with Brother Junior's absence due to the sickness. But more than anything, we just want to pray that he does well is what we want to do. So do remember Brother Junior at this time. We'll call on one to start our prayer this morning. And we want everybody to pray. You pray in your own way, whether you pray out loud or quietly. You just follow the Lord. Brother Wes, will you start a prayer, please?
Everybody pray. At this time, we want to have a few remarks from former pastors. None of them were able to come. We do have Brother G.W. Knight here. He served as the moderator for the organization of the church. Brother G.W., would you like to say anything? Amen. Yes, sir. Bless you, Brother G.W. Brother Key, I'll turn it back over to you at this time.
We want to welcome the Pettigo family. And I want to ask if Brother Melvin, would y'all stand up? They all started right here, y'all. Here we go. Let's give them a great hand. Come on. It's so good to welcome them and to welcome the family. In 1980, the Pettigo family sang. We were there. We thought at that time, Brother Bill, that that was a pretty good-sized little building, didn't we? As we look at it today, it's about the size of that table right there. But it was a full house, and y'all sang for a full house that day. I remember that very well. So would you make welcome the Pettigo family as they come as special singers and special guests, special friends of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. Bless you.
In sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer well turning,
then you
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
And he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer well turning,
then you
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
He makes it right. Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
And he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer well turning,
then you
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Makes it right.
We appreciate the opportunity to be here today. It's a wonderful occasion. It is something really and truly that is a great accomplishment to reach this milestone for this church and to kind of think back in the fact that we were singing around the back of a cab stand or something like that when all this started is many years ago. I was a little kid. I promise. I was. It was. I was just around to pack equipment for that point in time. But it's a wonderful thing to be invited back here and to see what God has given you guys and blessed you with. And my prayer is, most of all, that you take what God has given you and you use it for his cause, his purpose. And, you know, we talked about this just this week in school. As a matter of fact, you can't outgive God. That's just it. The more you put into it, the more he's going to give you back, and you can't outgive him. This is just a great opportunity, a great tool in his service, and don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever let that get away from you. That, you know, God has given you this, and just make the best use of it you can, and enjoy your blessing. And it kind of ties in with this next one. This is an old Leroy Abernathy tune. It's been around for quite a while. It's one, and I thank my Savior for it all.
There's a million things I'd like to do to serve my Lord. There's a million sinful pleasures I cannot afford. All the worldly things I might achieve, though great or small, I will thank my God because I know he owns it all. When the sun goes down, I thank my God. In the fall or spring, I thank my God. When it seems like troubles turn me aside, I can ask for help, I'll not be denied. When it seems like work I've done has been in vain, then I think the price when Christ was slain. Every morning, evening, noon, or night, matters not what may befall, I will sing and thank my Savior for it all. When the time shall come for me to go to meet my King, when it seems that I can almost hear the home bells ring, I shall then review the worldly deeds that I have done, and will thank my God that he's conducted everyone. When the sun goes down, I thank my God. In the fall or spring, I thank my God. When it seems like troubles turn me aside, I can ask for help, I'll not be denied. When it seems my work has been in vain, then I think the price when Christ was slain. Every whether morning, evening, noon, or night, matters not what may befall. I will sing God's praise and thank my Savior for it all.
One of the things that we are privileged to do, to have here today is Brother Bill Green started this work. There was others that had came down here years ago before him and tried to get things going, and they had a little base here. I'll say it that way. But Brother Bill Green, and this is the way it ought to be. Whenever that there's a church that needs to be put in place, God puts a burden upon a man to do a work. And he put it on Brother Bill. Now, I'm not sure exactly how long it takes to drive from Lafayette down here to Murfreesboro by the old roads, I'll say it that way. Now it's a little better than an hour. I asked one of the Pettigo family how long it took him to get here. He said about an hour and 15 minutes. I'm guessing it was probably at least an hour and a half, if not closer to 2 hours. But he did that, he and his family, for quite a few years, and was blessed during that time to see this work move. I'm going to ask Brother Bill to give us a history, if he would, at this time. Do you want a microphone?
You can never thank the Lord enough for this day. I know one of the things that while we started this work down here was, Lord, we need the financing. And Lord kept thinking about that. We're going to have the money to take care of this. And Lord kept saying, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And he has. I mean, it's just unreal how the Lord has took care of this work down here, financially especially. Everything I would ask the Lord about, I'll take care of it. And finally, after worrying the Lord enough, he said, you're going to have to go. And it just, so we did. And it has been such a blessing. It's, I know it was really hard on my family, and I appreciate that they're them sticking it out and just knowing that it, many times on the way down here, it's about an hour and a half or so, we stop along the way, and Heather had to throw up many times. Just, I don't think we ever made it down here in time without Heather throwing up. Just, so she had to do all of that and just different things and moving my family over here. It was just, it was a lot. And we just can never thank the Lord enough for all the blessings. There's a few of us that's still here besides my family that have been here from day one. And you appreciate those people that have been here all this time. There's been a lot of hard times and a lot of good times. And you have to have those things. And I appreciate those that have been here with us and stuck it out all those hard times and going on through the good times. We just never thank the Lord enough. And just, I wish y'all could have seen where we started out in the little building over here on Mercury, and I went calling down in Broad where they met together there. And Brother Keith said it was very small. The third Sunday in May of 1980, we started this work over here. And in the 10th of November, we organized a church over here. I mean, we've been doing this work about 4 years, and just how it happened. Me and some of the guys that was here in this work at that time, it was a mission effort. We were out fishing, and some of them said, why don't we organize? I don't know. So we just kept talking about it and talking about it. I said, one thing we got to know is the Lord in. We got to know that the Lord is in and wanting him to organize this work. So I said, a lot of prayer is going to have to be done, and there was. And I thank the Lord for all his blessings he's done. It's just been such a blessing to be here all this time, me and my family. We can never thank the Lord enough for all he's done. God bless you all, and thank you all for coming. And please keep praying for us. There's a lot of people that are still here that need to be saved. And that's what this work is about, reaching those that are lost. But God bless you all, and thank you all for everything.
Anyone that was involved with the mission work and the church on the start, would you please stand? Come on. Bless y'all's heart. Sister Heather, you didn't stand up. I didn't. I said involved now. Involved is the way I said it. First one to be baptized into the church, Sister Tammy over here. I do not know who the second one was. I've heard stories of different things that happened in this church over the 40 years, especially some of the first ones. I think one of the largest baptizings that they had was, I believe, 8. Should have got my numbers. I believe it was 8 back in the old building over on Church Street. And that was a blessing to this church. It's always been one that's growing, is what it's done. And the best way to put it is God has blessed this work. As far as this building is concerned, I came in afterwards. I was not here when it started, as far as even the thought process of getting this church in place, in this building. I've heard a lot of stories how that the Lord is blessed. One of the things that I do remember hearing, Brother Bill said that one of the first buildings they met in, the feller didn't charge them anything. He said, as long as I don't have a renter, I'll let you have it. They went in one Sunday and they said, I found a renter, you're going to have to move all your stuff out. And that included pianos, chairs, everything. And what happened was, I think Brother Key was already here, coming at least part of the time. At that time, he was still a member at Mount Calvary. But what happened was that Brother Key found him a building before the next Sunday, and they met in the next building. And then later on, they bought the building over at Church Street and moved into that building. And then after a while, they was outgrowing that building, especially the parking. The Lord provided a house beside it to be torn down or across from it to where they can park at it. That was the first time I ever came to Murfreesboro Church. Heather was going to school down here, and we wanted her a place to go to church. So we introduced her to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. And that was the first place we went, was over on Church Street. Never thinking that some years later, guess what, here I am. But somewhere in the mix of time, they realized they needed another property. And I've heard Brother Key, Brother Bill, and other ones talk about how they looked. And they found this property. And one of the things I will say, if you're not familiar with this property, at this time, from the interstate all the way over here to Franklin Road, my understanding was there was nothing on this streak of road. And this was the first one. And I think I'm telling the story right that they gave Brother Key the choice of what to make the address. And he chose Fortress Avenue 316, standing for John 316. Was the choice. Everything should be based upon what God wants it to be done. I'm satisfied there were people that in the church, I'll say that too, that says we can't pay for this. We can't build a building like this. There's no way it could ever be done. Matter of fact, I'll say it in this way. I've heard different ones say that, well, we're starting a debt that our grandkids will not be able to pay for. Here we are today. And I'm thankful that the Lord has provided for us today. He provides a way of building. I'm reminded in the scriptures how that when Moses and Aaron came out of Egypt, Moses went up to the mountain. God told him to build a tabernacle. He said, you tell the people to bring stuff. And they brought more than they needed. They finally had to tell them to quit. They did the same thing when Solomon's temple was built. We still hadn't got to the place we've told everybody to quit giving, because we're at the place where that we can still do more for God. It may not be a building, but we can do more for God's work. And that's building. At this time, I'd like to call all of our deacons around at this time for the note burning part. Brethren, if you would all come around. Deacons of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. Blessed to have three of our deacons here. I thought Brother Lanny got here. Come on, Brother Lanny. And I'll let these brethren proceed with this at this time.
Throughout the whole process. And as Chad Shoulders here today, Chad, are you here? We'd asked him to come when we paid this off, and he said he'd try to get here, but he couldn't make it, I guess. So we want to thank Macon Bank and Trust and Lafette for all the help. Y'all go back and tell them, Brother Melvin, we recognized them today. But nonetheless, the original loan was more than I, as a young man, could even think of. $1,048,000 is what the original loan was. So it's a great blessing today to be able to burn this note. Come on. Here we go. I'm not going to get burnt, Heather. All right. The second note was also with Macon Bank and Trust, and it provided us for the finance that we needed in order to build the Sunday school rooms and the fellowship hall in the back. This note was for $735,094.62. That one's going quicker. We may need our fire extinguisher on this one. All right.
Can we all say thank the Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Been requested. Number 214. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Say I
Just a look. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. That's what we're looking for. We're going to take a short break. We're already running a little longer than we thought we would be. But we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come in for a regular church service here in just, we'll say about 5-10 minutes at the best. Brother Key and them will start singing, but we want to give you just a moment to stretch your legs. And we appreciate each and every one being here at this time. I'll dismiss us with this prayer as far as this part of this service is concerned, but we'll start the service in about 5-10 minutes if some needs to stretch their legs. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for this day. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing this church like you have, Lord. I thank you for blessing this community with this church, dear Lord. Lord, I realize there's a lot of people, a lot of different church buildings out there, dear Lord. But, Lord, this is a special place. I believe it's special in your eyes, dear God, that, Heavenly Father, you allow your word to go out through it, dear Heavenly Father. I hope and pray, dear Lord, that these people that are here today may cherish the very thought of this place. Lord, I know my home church, where I grew up, where I got saved, it's special in my mind. Lord, it's special to me. And Lord, I want this place to be more special to anybody else in this world, Heavenly Father, in this place. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would cause a revival to start in this place, that we all might be awakened, dear Lord, to thy word and thy glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each one that's present. Now, Lord, take us into the next part of our service. For it's in thy holy Son's name we do pray. Amen.
Let's begin our worship service. We'll be singing number 178 in favorite gospel songs. Number 178, What He's Done For Me.
Makes me wonder.
Amen. Pettigo family, if y'all will be making your way back at this time for a couple of numbers, and then we'll sing again after prayer. Thank y'all so much. Come on, good round of applause for the Pettigos. We love them. Thank you.
Inside the gate,
just inside the gate,
inside the gate,
just inside the gate
of home,
just inside the gate,
sweet home,
just inside the gate,
no more to cry,
just inside the gate,
no more to die,
just inside the gate,
a crown of life,
just inside the gate,
you've
just inside the gate,
you're safe at last,
just inside the gate,
your sorrows past,
just inside the gate,
a mansion here,
just inside the gate,
forevermore,
just inside the gate,
yes, all of
this, just inside the gate,
I'll hear him say,
just inside the gate,
when I step inside the gate.
I will look for mother dear, and I'll look for daddy too. Sisters, brothers will be there, heaven's joys with them I'll share. Then I'll hear little David play, meet my Jesus on that day. Heaven's joys for me awaits when I step inside the gate.
Inside the gate,
just inside the gate,
inside the gate,
just inside the gate
of home,
just inside the gate,
sweet home,
just inside the gate,
no more to cry,
just inside the gate,
no more to die,
just inside the gate,
a crown of life,
just inside the gate,
you've
just
won,
inside the gate,
you're safe at
just
last,
inside the gate,
your sorrows
past, just inside the gate,
a mansion
just
here,
inside the gate,
forevermore,
just inside the gate,
yes, all of
just
this,
inside the gate,
I'll hear him say,
just inside the gate,
when I step inside the gate.
Oh, no, the old story will never grow. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow. That story will never grow old. I went to church one lonely night. I sat way back, for my soul was not right. The preacher was preaching how Jesus died for a sin-filled world. He laid down his life.
Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow. That story will never grow old.
I went to the altar and in prayer knelt down. Lord, please have mercy, and he pardoned me there. He lifted my burden, brought peace to my soul. And what made my life new was that story so old. Many years have passed by since I found the Lord. I remember that night when the story was told. Time has no hold on the message it brings. That story is old, but it's still blessing me. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. That story will never grow old.
We'll have them back to sing for you in a little bit. We are thankful for the Pettigo family coming to sing for us today. If you were late getting here, they were the first group that sang for this church, I guess 40 years ago. 44 years ago, while it was still a mission then. And so... I wasn't going to refer to that now. I was going to say y'all just stayed the same all the way through. We are glad to have them with us today. I have to send my apologies to Rocky Mount Missionary Baptist Church. I think we cleaned their church house out today, or at least halfway. So we appreciate all of their families coming to be with them. I'd say there's a good 15, 20 of them all together that have come down to be with us today, and we thank you all for coming to be with us, to be here to support your family. My understanding, it's been quite a while since y'all really sung together. I've got to hear you sing when I was there in revival a few years ago, and I think that happens from time to time, but we are glad y'all came to be with us. Now, let me get back to business. We're glad everybody's here today. We're glad to have all of our visitors with us. We are so thankful you have come to be with us today. I hope and pray that you'll get a blessing out of this service today. And let's look for God's blessings to come down in our service, that God's Spirit may come in and just bless us in a great way. We was blessed last Sunday with a good service, a good spirit among us. We had one young man that told us about being saved. That's wonderful. And so we hope and pray it'll be three times better. I started to say twice, but I do remember in the Bible where the old prophet told one old king, he said, now take your arrows, and he said, hit them or put them in the ground. And he done it three times, and he stopped. And the prophet said, what'd you stop for? Now I'm paraphrasing this. He said, what'd you stop for? We should never be content with one. We should never be content with just two or three. We should always be looking for the greatest blessings that we can get from God. And I'm going to tell you, he's got a great big vault full of the best pay there is. So let's look for it today. We are thankful for each one being here. I'm going to call Brother Sam around. We do what we call a children's church for our visitors. It's basically for our kids. Brother Sam is good to talk with all the young kids on their level. So pay attention and bring all of the visiting children. We'd love to have you to come up also and be with Brother Sam for just a few minutes here.
Let's go. Come on. We got a schedule to keep. We got biscuits to eat. Come on. Everybody come. Any 90-year-old children want to come? Come on up. Well, we got to take account here. This is almost This is almost a record. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's close, but the record is 21. Y'all are doing good. I need to step right here beside you. I need to grab something. This is a prop. I brought this last week and introduced this. This is a picture. Are you going to hold it? No, I can just show everybody here right quick. This is a picture my father took in Mexico when we were there on the mission work. And it shows a man plowing with oxen, planting seeds, and his son is helping him. And this is on loan from the Margaret Vance Museum of Hogan Road History. In other words, my mom's living room. She's sitting right there. Thank you, Mama, for praying for me and for teaching me about Jesus. Thank you. So I'm going to step right down here. And Daniel, you're going to be my easel. Make sure that they can see that. All right, there's 12 things in here we're going to talk about. So you got to come every time that we teach this so you'll get the whole lesson because there's a test at the end. 12 things we'll talk about. We're going to talk about the ground, the seed, the pail, which holds the seed. We got the little boy sowing the seeds. We've got the plow, the oxen, the yoke. We've got the man holding the guide stick. We've got the man, the master, he's running the show. We got the sky and the climate. We got the fence, and we got the big picture. Take notes along the way, okay? We're going to talk about the ground. Why do we plow the ground? Why do we do that? So we can plant, okay? We want to render it so that we can put seed in it and it'll have its effect, okay? Look here, look at me, look at me, look at me. Pay attention here, okay? God makes the ground, okay? And he makes the conditions for it to grow. But it's up to man to do the work so that that seed will grow. You remember the story of the parable that the Lord talked about, the parable of the sower? Remember that? A guy goes forth to sow. He's sowing seed. It falls in four places. It falls on a bare ground. The birds eat it up. It doesn't have time to grow. It falls on rocks, and it doesn't have root. It can't grow on the rocks. Some of it falls among weeds, and it chokes it out. But some of it falls on good ground, and that's where it has a chance to grow. This guy is playing on this ground. This is like, I want you to get your thinking caps on and imagine here. A long time ago, you heard Brother Bill stand up and said, there's ground that needs to be plowed down in Murfreesboro. So he took it upon himself and responsibility to come here and plow that. He was in service for the Lord. Every time that you testify, every time that we preach, every time that we go on the mission field, we are plowing. And we're plowing to make sure that people's hearts are rendered and that word can get in there and have its effect. Hosea said a long time ago, this is going to be our memory verse for today. He said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground means hard ground. You got to render it soft. For it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So this picture here shows that being done. All of this here, this building, our pastor, our members that witness to everybody, the mission stuff that we support, we're plowing the ground. We're wanting the Lord's will to be done. That's the first lesson. Keep notes along the way. Stand up and repeat this after me. Hosea.
Yeah.
Come on, say it with enthusiasm. Hosea.
10 and 12.
Sow to yourselves.
Sow to
yourselves. In righteousness.
In righteousness.
Reap in mercy.
Reap in mercy.
Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord.
For it is time to seek the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate all the kids coming up. Good lesson there for all of us there today. Appreciate everybody coming up. We're going to be going to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Wonder if anybody's got a prayer request upon your heart this time.
I will mention this again, Brother Junior Dickerson, a preacher friend of mine. He pastors at Plunkett's Creek Missionary Baptist Church. He had a stroke yesterday. Do remember him in your prayers in that church and his family. That he'll get well soon is what we. It's a mild stroke from what I understand, but still there is some damage always with a stroke. So do remember him in your prayers. Somebody else have a prayer request? Lord, help. Lord, help. Just remember this child. Somebody else. Oh, is he? Let's remember these requests. Somebody else. Lord help. Lord help. Let's remember this family. Somebody else. Lord help. Let's do remember the Wilburn family. Somebody else. Lord help. Let's remember this also. Somebody else. Lord help. A lot of sickness, isn't it? Somebody else. Let's remember this request.
I've got a brother who's got dementia, Parkinson's disease. He's getting medication.
Let's do remember this also. Somebody else. Yeah, we saw that earlier this week. Young lady lost twin babies. Do remember them in your prayers. This family. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Do remember this also. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Let's remember this. There have been three suicides at colleges in this area lately. Let's do remember these families and these students. Somebody else. I'll add this one in, and it's my prayer request always. Let's remember the ones that are unsaved. I look around this church house today, and I see several that are not saved, that I haven't heard them say they're saved. And I want you to pray for them. That's always on my heart, that I want them to be saved. And I hope it gets on all of us's heart, is what I hope it does. We're thankful for each and every one being here today. We want to call them one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother G.W., would you please lead us in prayer at this time?
Pettigo family, if you will, please come back one more time. What a blessing that they have been. I felt the Lord sitting right there in the music and the songs, and I pray that you all have been. I've worshiped with these guys. I've sung with them. We've just enjoyed each other's presence so many times. Thank you, Brother Melvin, and y'all for being here again today, but y'all take us to the preaching service. How's that? Give them one more hand. Come on.
And wounded, sick and sore.
We appreciate it. As Brother Hackett had said, we have been around for a long time. You do the math. There's over 200 years of gospel music experience right up here in front of you. So, again, it is, it's been an honor to be remembered with this group of people. It's a greater honor to be associated with such wonderful people. And again, as Key Dillard pointed out, Brother Key, you know, he is—he's been such a great influence in—if for nobody else but for me, and what it has meant. And as a man that actually lived that which he professed, that was something that has always stood out, and to be asked to come back. And I know he's asked us different times to sing, and we've never been able to. There's always been some kind of conflict, and literally there was conflict. So it's just a matter of fact, one's just gotten back from conflict about 2 weeks or so ago. Alan's been deployed, and so we literally have not sung together in more than a year. And this is... it's special to it proves out what the Bible says, that it doesn't really matter what the name is on the outside of the building, who the people are, because if you've been saved by God's grace and I've been saved by God's grace and we're in here together and we're worshiping the Lord, we're brothers and sisters, we're home. Doesn't really matter where it is, what it is, we're home. Amen. And that's the thing that I feel right now, is it's just like home. And to come back after all these years, it really is. It's very special. And again, I don't want to try your patience, but thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And we'll try this one, another Leroy Abernathy song entitled My Home.
I had a home. What a time I had with my mom and dad. I can still remember. I'm so glad that I've not forgotten those days. Mid the toil and strife of this old life, my mind still wanders back to my childhood days and things that used to be. In a carefree way, I'd romp and play. I wish those days were back. Still my thoughts are filled with pleasant memories. I had a time I had with my mom and dad. I can still remember. I'm so glad that I've not forgotten those days. 'Twas in my home, with the help of dad and the friends we had and my dear old mother. That's the reason now I am singing God's praise. In visions now I see the face.
enjoyed the Pettigo family today. We're thankful that they were able to come and sing for us today. We appreciated the note-burning service that we had earlier. We're thankful for this service today. We're running just a little bit later than usual. Kind of apologize for that, but it's a good day. It's homecoming. It's a day we come back to the Lord is what we should do. The idea is we come back to the church as a group and as a people. But it is a day we come back to the Lord. And don't think just because we're having this kind of a service, something special can't happen, because a year ago today, we were blessed with one being saved during our homecoming service. Sister Cheryl talked about it the other day, that how that she had went back to the back to start preparing food, and somebody told her that Lane was on the altar, her grandson, and she came down with him where he was praying, and he got gloriously saved. He was special, and he's been special to us all along. He does he's constant here, and I'm thankful for that. And if you're not constant in the work of God, I invite you to start. God needs your service. He needs your work. And you might think, well, I can't do that, but just being here makes a big difference. So please, we hope that you'll follow him. The good thing about this today, you haven't got to beat the other churches to the restaurant. We've got food back here in the back, and we've got plenty. You don't have to worry about beating anybody else. You might have to beat Brother Sam, but never mind that. But he picks on me all the time, so I'll pick on him. He's watching. The idea is we'll have plenty of food. We want everybody to stay. If you're visiting with us, we want you to stay and eat. We've got plenty of room and plenty of food. And even if you didn't bring something, my wife is this way. If she doesn't bring something, she hates to stay. But the idea is we want you to just stay in fellowship with us today. Give us a little bit of time as far as the Word of God is concerned today. We're taking a reading lesson from Luke, the 18th chapter. This is familiar reading lesson. It was not where I started out this morning for is where I thought this sermon was going to start from, but got this thought today. And so go to 18th chapter of Luke, starting reading with verse 10, very familiar scripture. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. 13th verse, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now Jesus says this in the 14th verse, and the publican, standing afar off, verse 14, I've skipped verses, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, in this reading lesson, that's reading verses 10 through 14 for our reading lesson today, and my question is going to be today, which one will you be? The first part of this lesson that Jesus taught, the Pharisee was one that was pretty proud of what he was. He thought he did a lot of good works. He thought that he did everything that the law required him to do. He made a point to mention how much he did for God's work, is basically what he did. But the publican, the publican was a man that in the eyes of a Jew, he was very despised in their eyes. He was a tax collector. Sister Penny is not here today, but she works for the Internal Revenue. I'm not saying that she's despised. She's not in my eyes. I appreciate their work unless they come after me. Now, the thought that we have today is, which one would you be? Would you be like the publican who said that he smote upon his breast, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Or will you be the type that will brag about what you've done for the Lord? Me personally, I have done nothing worthy of praise. I have people that comes out when I meet them in the church, appreciate that message. I thank them, but I want you to understand, there's nothing about me that, as far as preaching the Word of God, that is nothing great in anybody's eyes, in my opinion. It's not in my eyes. Now, I don't say that to try to make myself sound humble, but the idea that I want to bring to you today is a humble spirit is what that God is looking for out of individuals. Not everybody that is here today is saved. I hate that idea. I wish everyone that was in this house today was truly saved by the grace of God. I wish everybody in the city of Murfreesboro really knew what it was to be saved. I wished everybody in the state of Tennessee, United States, and the world. I do. I wished every one of them was saved, even down to the greatest sinner in our eyes. Now, I don't know who it is in your eyes. You don't know who it is in my eyes. But the idea is, I love every one of them, and I pray that they all get saved. That was God's will, that all might be saved today. But the idea, there is a choice that God has allowed mankind to make. And that is the choice of whether or not they will seek out God and His righteousness, or whether they will try to lean on their own understanding, as Solomon said in the book of Proverbs today. Now, the idea here is today, you've got two different opinions. You've got a Pharisee that is living on pride. You've got a publican that knows he's a sinner, and he is praying to God for salvation. That is the key element today. But I want to talk about some different ones to give you examples of what it means to be prideful, to be ones that are lost or sinners in the eyes of God. First place I'm going is the 5th chapter of Daniel. This is a story that you hear out of the scripture as a child. You hear the story how that there was a king named Belshazzar, and how that he saw the handwriting on the wall. Now, the idea that I want to bring to your mind today, you pick either this side or that side, a bare wall, and this man is, first of all, he is there in a great big party. He was celebrating. He was trying to show the world that there was nothing wrong, even though the people that wanted to take his kingdom were right outside the walls. I want you to understand something today. As far as your soul is concerned, the devil is sitting right there wanting to take your soul down to a devil's hell. Just as that is the way that he works today. But the idea that I want you to look at as far as Belshazzar was concerned was that he was a man that was out there partying. He had brought the gold, the silver, the cups, and everything that it came out of the temple of God, and he had brought them in, and they were using them for their sinful acts. Now, it was not these sinful acts that God was going to condemn him for, but the fact that he had done something else wrong. Now, the scripture says in verse 5, and Daniel has interpreted what he had saw. Let me back up and say what he saw. He, first of all, saw, and I'm going to use this wall over here. He saw this wall over here, and all of a sudden, he saw the hand, the fingers of a man's hand. And what he saw was them writing in the wall itself. And when he saw this, this troubled him. I believe it would trouble just about everybody else that is here today. If we saw all of a sudden there was a finger of a man's hand and it was writing on the wall, it would disturb most everybody. But in that day, he saw four words that was written and he didn't understand what was that. Now, when they couldn't get anybody else to interpret it, they brought the man of God, Daniel, the old prophet. And what he did, he came up and he started out talking to Belshazzar about his life and about what he knew and about the kingdom before him. His grandfather was Nebuchadnezzar, the great king that had conquered the entire world. But he said, Daniel told him, and I'll start with verse 20. And he said, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, and he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took the glory from him. Now listen to what happened. And he was driven from the sons of men, and he was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was whipped with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed it over whomsoever he will. Now, you might say, well, why did God do that to Nebuchadnezzar? Because of his pride. He got lifted up in his mind. He got lifted up thinking, I'm better than anybody else. Remember that Pharisee? You may not think that you're better than anybody else, but you may have in your mind, well, I can get by my life without God. I can get by without being saved. And I want you to understand something. That's pride right there that says, I can do it. Now, what I want you to see here, you might say, well, why did God bring him down? If you go back one chapter where it tells about what happened to Nebuchadnezzar in detail, and in verse 17, he said, this manner is by decree of the watchers and demand of the word of the holy ones. Now, listen to this. To the intent that the living, who is the living? You are the living, may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth over it the basis of men. In other words, God is in control. Now, listen to me today. No matter where you're at in your life, you may have wealth, you may have children, you may have the best things that are out there, but if you're out in sin, I want you to understand something today. You are in trouble today. For what he said to them, this is your evidence that God is in control. You hear this story, it lets you know. According to Paul in the book of Romans, he said even the trees and the mountains, the very things that are about you, they witness that God is God, that there is this great God that is in control of all things, but you think you can do it yourself. Belshazzar, by Daniel's words, was told this, and thou his son Belshazzar hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all of this. Why was those things written? Why did it happen that Belshazzar seen these things, and yet he had not humbled his heart before the Lord? He said, but thou hast lifted thyself up against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of in the house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, and wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear not know. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, preacher, I am not serving gold, silver, wood, anything. I'm not got any idols. If you put your job before God, guess what you've done? You have started worshiping that job. If you put your family before God, my friends, I hate to tell you this, but you are worshiping something other than God. Where does God go? I'm going to use this term. In the pecking order of life. God should be first. I think family should be second. Your living should be third. Whatever else is under that. But always God should be first in everyone's life. That's what He desires of us, that we would worship Him and nothing else or nobody else. Now listen to the rest of this verse. And the God in whose hands thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? In other words, Belshazzar, the reason this has happened was so that you would humble your heart. If you're lost today, this is so that you can humble your heart before the great God Almighty, that you might worship Him today. I want to give you another instance. There was a king in Judah by the name of Josiah. Josiah was the son of probably one of the most wicked kings that Judah had. And but Josiah did not follow Manasseh, his father. And what he did was he started wanting to worship God. And he told him, he said, now the temple it's in disarray. It's broke down. And he said, I want the priest to get the money out of that they have and start to giving it to the carpenters and stone workers and to start cleaning the place up and making it a place where God can be proud of. That's what Murfreesboro's done. We made a place where God can be proud of. But the thing about it was, when they was doing that, one of the high priest Hilkiah, they got back in the back room and they found something that they hadn't seen in a long time. And it was a book of Moses. And in that book, they started reading it. They took it to the chief scribe, Shaphan, and he started reading out of that. And it got them all kind of upset is what it did. And they took it to the king, and they read it before him. And, it got him worried. I tell you what today, when you hear the word of God preached today, it ought to get on your heart. That's both saved and sinners alike. It ought to get on your heart about what God intends. We need to clean up the house of God. We need to put it in repair. And I'm not talking about the building today. I'm talking about the church itself. Those that are saved, they are members of this body. We need to fix up the things that are broken down. But I want to move on. When Josiah had heard these things read, they said, we need a prophet to tell us about what's going to happen here. Because they was troubled. They was reading the law and saying, what it was saying was, if you don't follow me, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to lose your kingdom. Well, the old prophet, when they went to her, she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God. This is in the 22nd chapter of 2 Kings, verse 15. Tell the man that sent you to me. This is talking to Josiah. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Now, in our book today, well, let me back up. What Moses told them was, if you do not follow me, I'll take your kingdom away from you. They had the witness in their sister nation, Israel itself, how that God had allowed them to be overtaken, overrun by Nebuchadnezzar, and carried off into a foreign land. You know what most people would say about that if it happened to us here today? Let's say that there was something happened and maybe half of the nation got overrun by a foreign country. You know what we'd say? Well, that couldn't happen to us. How many of you said that with the floods up there in East Tennessee and North Carolina, how many of you said, oh, that can't happen to us? Well, it might not be a flood, but it might be a tornado. It might be something else that could wipe us out. It might be something else that brings about death. But what he said, I'm going to bring evil upon them because of their sin. Now, what Josiah went ahead and started doing, he started cleaning up not only the temple, but he's tried to clean up Judah. You know what he did? He started tearing down all the high places where they'd worshiped idols. He started grinding all of the altars up into powder, the gold and silver, all these valuable things. He started tearing all of that down and so that they couldn't see it anymore. And he made a proclamation that they worship God. I tell you what, I'm making a proclamation to God today that we need to worship God as a people. It's a proclamation that we need to be done. And she said, even though you're turning this around, this is still going to happen. Now, I know we're all talking about the election today, and I'm not being political here, but I want you to understand something. We as a nation may get what we deserve, not what we want. And you better be praying to God that your heart is right with the Lord, because there is coming a day of a greater destruction than what any political party can bring about. That destruction will come from God. The destruction that came upon Judah was from Nebuchadnezzar, the king that I told you about a while ago. And they came into Jerusalem later on and destroyed it. They broke down the walls. They went into the temple, tore it down. The brazen pillars that were on the front, they cut them up, carried them back to Babylon. They took all the gold, the silver, everything about it. I want you to understand something. God can tear down your life today. But he said, Josiah, but to the king of Judah, let me get this right, verse 19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, they should become a desolation and should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent the clothes and wept before me, I have heard thee, saith the Lord. Now, first thing I'm going to tell you is today, you don't have to tear your clothes. Second thing I'm going to tell you, though, you really don't even have to shed tears. You don't really have to weep that much. But you better start talking to God about your soul if you're not ready to meet him. Because the coming destruction is far worse than any destruction that Nebuchadnezzar could bring on Judah. If you thought the destruction that you witnessed that Israel put on Gaza the last few weeks or months, I should say, if you thought that was bad, that holds no light to what God will do to this world. Now, my question is, which one are you going to be? Are you going to be one that is going to stand there in your pride? I can survive without God. Or are you going to be one that says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Brother Key, I'm getting ready to wind up here. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 5. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. He's talking to saved people here, by the way. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Now, that goes for sinners too. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Grace here is an unmerited favor from God. You may not deserve it. You are a sinner in the eyes of God, and because of that, you need to humble yourself to him and to make your heart tender towards him. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you remember what it said about the publican? He would not even come down to the front of the place to worship. What did he do? He bowed himself. He humbled himself. He smote upon his breast. He wanted the prayer to come from the very depths of his heart. What did he want it to do? What he said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's plain, isn't it? What do you want today? You want God's grace? God's mercy? Or are you going to stand there or sit there in your pride? He says, seventh verse, and Brother Key, this is going to be my last verse. Casting all your cares upon the Lord. Now the publican, when Jesus had told the story of the pride of the Pharisee and the publican, the old sinner, he said that publican went down to his house justified. What does that mean? It means to be made righteous. It means to be put in the place where God wants you to be in. You see, God today, he wants you to be saved more than anything else. He does. You want me to prove that to you? He sent his son to die that you might be saved. For without Jesus dying on the cross, you could not be saved today. Which one will you be? Will you be one that is using your pride, holding on to your acts of pride? Or will you be humble before God? Submissive to him. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, just save my soul. I've heard this prayer quoted by many people that got saved. Lord, if it takes my life, just save my soul. That's what we're going to try to say today. We thank you for your attention today. While we stand and sing, if you're a sinner here in this house today, we want you to seek God. There's food back there, yes. But your soul is much more valuable than all the food in this world today. So while we stand and sing, seek God before it's too late.
Number 278.